Hello, friends. I am Pastor Bill Miller from Redeemer Covenant Church on Morgan Road in Liverpool, New York, and I am your pastor for the day. The format that I've decided to use for Pastor for the Day is a question and answer format, and I've received some questions, and I will do my best to answer some of them today. Let's jump right in. The first question: I am a new believer overwhelmed by the number of Bible translations and wonder which version I should buy. Well, I knew a guy who used the King James Bible, and he said, if it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. Well, of course, he was a ding-dong. Let's talk about why. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. That was great for the Israelites because they all spoke Hebrew. In the 2nd or 3rd century BC, people wanted to read the Old Testament but didn't know Hebrew. So some scholars translated the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek. Greek was a common language used by many countries. This translation was called the Septuagint. The New Testament is a collection of gospel accounts and letters written by Paul and a few other apostles. The New Testament is written mostly all in Greek because that was the language most understood in the ancient world at the time. Then in 382 AD, the Greek Old Testament and New Testament was translated into Latin. It was called the Latin Vulgate. Latin was a scholarly language of the day. Catholic Mass was done in Latin, and still is in some places, so scholars and priests could read the Bible, but the rest of Christendom could not. In the 1500s, various people translated the Bible into English. There are several surviving translations for that time. But in 1611 AD, King James of Britain commissioned a Bible translated for his people. That's how the King James Bible came to be. So it was created over 1500 years after Paul's death. For a long time, the King James Version was the main translation of Scripture, and it reads like the people spoke in 17th century England, thou and thee, etc. As time progressed, many new translations were created. Today, we have many good ones. I would put each translation into one of three categories. Some try to give each word the best translation, so each word is carefully researched and translated. The problem is that when you put a sentence of strictly translated words together, it is sometimes hard to make sense of the meaning of the sentence. One of the best examples of this type of translation is the New American Standard Bible. Then, there are some translations that try to translate sentences so that the sentence makes sense. It is less word for word and more thought for thought. The most popular of these types of translations is the New International Version. It is the translation I use the most. I use the NIV version from 1984. They changed it more recently, and I actually like the original better. If you come or plan to visit my church, Redeemer, I would get this translation so you can keep track with me when I preach. Now, the last category is a relatively new genre. It tries to take the thoughts of the Bible and make them modernized and even more accessible to 21st century people. They tend to use current words and phrases to convey the original thoughts. The Passion Translation, the Good News translations are like this. Some people have very strong feelings about this last category. I was having lunch with a pastor friend of mine. He said, the Passion Translation is complete junk. And I thought, okay. On the other hand, my wife loves the Passion Translation. And every so often, I'll read a passage I'm going to preach on in the Passion Translation to see if it says it any clearer or gives me some insight. Now, some of these translations will literally add commentary right into the middle of the Bible verse. The most popular is like the Amplified Bible. There are no completely good or completely bad translations. Some will argue that conclusion. I use the NIV, but I will look at other versions or translations when I'm putting my sermons together because I want to see different perspectives. As a new believer, the important thing is to read the Bible. I suggest starting with a translation that is easy to understand, and that's not the King James. Find out which Bible version is used by the church that you're going to, hopefully not the King James, then get that one of the NIV or get the Passion. Finally, I use computer software to study the original Hebrew and Greek Bibles. That gives me insight into the scriptures and makes me sound like I know what I'm talking about. Thank you for that question. Okay, next question. What does it mean to surrender my life to Christ? Well, we want to be in charge of our own lives. You are not the boss of me, we would say. Frank Sinatra sang a song, I did it my way. Surrendering your life to Jesus means you step off the throne of your life and let him step onto that throne. Matthew 16:24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man to gain the whole world if he forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he's done.'" So he leads us, and we choose his way or our way. All right, let me stop there. I appreciate you listening. This has been Pastor Bill Miller, your pastor for the day. I would invite you to visit, if you don't have a church, come to Redeemer Covenant on Morgan Road in Liverpool. If you have a question that you'd like me to tackle on a future Pastor for the Day, send it to pastorbill@myredeemer.com. God bless you.